Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, today's going to be powerful good. Powerful good. How many of you have been going through battles and tribulations? Holy smoke, it seems like the devil's been running roughshod lately, you know? Just running wild, doing whatever he does, and just trying to mess with people's hearts and minds and health and family and money and friends. It's just, he's been going nuts lately, hasn't he? Boy, I don't know what it is, but he has been creating wonderful opportunities for us to show our faith, hallelujah, to prove who we really are in Christ Jesus, that we know the truth, and that he may try, but he will not win. Amen? I'll tell you, there have been some battles that I've been going through, that some of you all have been going through. And I'll tell you, if we weren't Christians, it would be a dismal situation. Dismal. But because we have the Spirit of God in us, and God is faithful, and we've been redeemed, and we have the Spirit of God in us, his weapons will not prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you. So how many of y'all have been standing in faith for something to change in your life? Amen. And I'll tell you, I just want to let you know, I've been standing for some things. I'm not at liberty to say what they are right now because it involves others, but because I have to have their permission, you know, to share stuff that involves them. But I've been standing in faith for stuff for years, thinking there would be no end to it. And praise the Lord, it's come to an end. And I'll tell you what, it's like a whole new life has been placed inside of me, because the Bible says that it's the truth that makes us free, right? We have to have truth installed in us. And when that truth is installed in us and our heart knows it's true, we're free. The power of the devil is over. It's as if it never existed. It is like a dark room that you put light into it. As soon as you put the light into the room, you don't even think of the darkness anymore, do you? You don't even think of the darkness when you're in the light. Not at all. But if you're in the darkness, sure do think about the light a lot, don't you? Where's the light? Where's the light? Where's the light? Where's the light? Some of us, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're crying out, God, where are you? What's going on? How come I'm going through this? Because you haven't got the light. Get the light, boom, darkness is gone. I'll tell you, that's up to you and I. I want to share some stuff with you that is very liberating. Because, you know, I know that we talk a lot about what we need to overcome, what we need to endure, and all that kind of stuff. But the truth of the matter is, who we are in the Spirit, who we really genuinely are, is what's most important. Not what we're going through. Not what's happened to us in our past. Not what other people are saying that's contrary to the Word of God. It's who I am because of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we need to get settled in our hearts and minds. I was talking to you about a couple of weeks ago, the flu tried to jump on me, and it hit me hard and fast, and my gut was wrenching, and there's times when you just go, it's less painful to die. It's less painful to die than to be going through this, you know? Besides, if I die, I'll go be with the Lord. Well, that was a test for me. And it took me hours, probably 4 hours of really trying to get it out of my body before it actually left. But there's some things that are really important that I went through in doing that I'd like to share with you all so that you can do it too. Because here's the thing. Our health and our healing and our victory is in our spirit. Amen? It's in our spirit. It's in our born-again spirit person. But our trouble is in our flesh, isn't it? Our flesh and blood bodies is where we experience the troubles. The traumas, the pains, the weaknesses, those things are in our flesh. So what we have to learn how to do is to take what is the truth in the spirit and bring it out into our flesh and let our flesh manifest the truth of what is in the spirit. Amen? And I think that in the body of Christ as a whole, we haven't become really good at bringing it out of the spirit, and so it manifests in our flesh. And so what we have to do as a group, universally, not just here, as a group, what we've been doing, since we don't know how to take what's true here in the spirit and bring it into the flesh so our flesh looks the same as a spirit person, we end up going to someone we think is spiritual, or that God hears, or that God's working through, and asking them for a miracle or a healing, that God would hear their prayer, or they would be able to get it out of the spirit and give it to us. Amen? Because we don't quite feel confident that we can bring it out of the spirit and manifest it in the flesh. Are you with me? So let's get some tools on how to get it out of the spirit and get it into our body. Would that be helpful? I think it would be helpful. So let's go ahead and talk about that. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. And I really want to belabor this. So I really want to go over it and be redundant and say it in a lot of different ways so that it really sinks in. Instead of running all over the Bible, I want to stay on just a few verses and just really bring them home, if you don't mind, okay? So Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, and this is in the E.W. King James Version. This says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Let's tear that apart and look at it. Okay? Let's just really tear that apart and look at it. Let me read a couple other versions of the Bible that say this. In the ISV, it says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in union with the Messiah." Now, in most translations, "who do not work according to the flesh, but according to..." it's not in there. So we'll just drop that off for right now, because it is in this chapter. So you can connect it. But let's, for the sake of this moment, let's just look at, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." And we'll just focus on that right there, okay? And leave the other side off for the moment. ISV, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in union with the Messiah." So in Christ, they've said in union with. So in union with Jesus Christ, okay? It's in Christ is in union with Christ. Let's look at the ERV version. It says, "So now anyone who is in Christ Jesus is not judged guilty." For condemnation, they put "judged guilty." Okay? So let's think about this. The ISV version says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in union with the Messiah Jesus." Again, union. So let's take what all of these Bible translators have said and let's kind of put it in our words, okay? And if would it be fair to say that there is now no judgment of guilty to anyone who is in union with Christ Jesus? Would that be fair to say that? There is no judgment of being guilty to anyone who's in union with Christ Jesus. Is Jesus in us? He is. He's absolutely in us. So therefore, if we're in Christ or in union with Christ, there's no judgment of us being guilty. Is that right? The devil can't say you're guilty of anything, absolutely anything, because you're in union with Christ Jesus. That's a pretty strong statement. Let's take it another step further. Condemnation. Condemnation, you've often heard it means not fit for use. Is that correct? Let's think about a building, okay? If we condemn a building, say down in downtown Macon, they condemned a building. That building is not fit for use. Let me change the words again, and let's look at the same thing in a little different light. That building is not habitable. When a building is condemned, it's not habitable. You can't use it. It's not safe to use. Right? The building's not habitable. It's not safe to be used because it's condemned. It's been judged unworthy for occupation. Right? Condemned, judged guilty, unworthy of occupation. Is that unfolding it a little bit? So when a person, the temple and the house of God, is walking in condemnation, the way they think about themselves and their situation, by thinking they're absent from God or separate from God, or he's out there, where is he? They're actually saying, I'm not worthy of God inhabiting me. I'm not fit for God to use. That's what condemnation does. By thinking you're guilty, you're blamed for something, and carrying that on your shoulders, it actually makes you, by that way of thinking, separate from the vital union with Jesus Christ. Isn't that a shout for hallelujah? Kinda. If you're not in the condemned state, it's not good news at all. I mean, if you're not in the condemned state, it's really good news. But if the devil is beating you up by making you look at yourself as to whether or not God's healing spirit is in you operating, then we need to take a look at ourselves. We need to take a look at what we're saying to ourselves and what we think about ourselves. Amen? So let me get this straight. Robert, are you saying that because of what Jesus did, I am not condemned if I walk with Jesus? I can't be condemned. I can't be found guilty. I can't be the problem. Is that true? I want to say this clearly. Absolutely yes. Absolutely, matter-of-factly, you will never be blamed by God ever again in your eternal existence. You will never be unfit for use. You will never be unworthy in his sight. You will never be unpleasing to the Lord. Never, emphatically, no. Get that settled in your heart. Because what happens when sickness, when troubles, when infirmities, the devil, mean people come after you, it's a temptation to think that we are the problem. We somehow have something wrong with us. We somehow are not doing something right. Amen? And we need to take that off of ourselves. Let's go further in this small little chapter here and look at some things. Verse 2 of Romans 8. I'm reading the King James, so I'll read yours. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life. Stop. There is a law of spirit and life. In Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Is there a law of sin and death? Yes. If you sin, you will die. Isn't that what he said? If you sin, you will die, right? So sometimes we think, oh man, I have opened the door to sin in my life. Where is the door open to sin in my life? And we go hunting for it. Or man, I'm not doing good enough. I'm not reading my Bible enough. I'm not praying in the Spirit enough. And all of a sudden we start looking at ourselves as to our performance has something to do with whether or not God approves of us. Poppycock. Is that a word? It was when I was a kid. Poppycock. That is not true. Absolutely not true. Even though sin can open a door for sicknesses in our lives, once we realize what the next verse says, we won't go there anymore. And look at this in verse 3. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, Oh, I should read yours. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. What did he do? He condemned sin in the flesh. Let's look at this a minute. He condemned sin in the flesh. Does he condemn you? No. Who did God condemn? Sin in the flesh. Let's read some other translations, okay? This guy, his name is Woost. Some people say, Weast? Weast. Weast, Woost. You know? Tomato, tomato. As long as we know who we're talking about, right? He said this. This is verse 1 through 4. Therefore, now there is not even one bit of condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, that of the life in Christ Jesus, freed you once for all from the law of the sinful nature and of death. For that which is an impossibility for the law, because it is weak through the sinful nature, God, having set his Son in likeness of flesh of sin, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the sinful nature, in order that the righteous requirement of the law may be brought to completion in us, who, not as dominated by the sinful nature, are ordering our behavior, but as dominated by the Spirit. Who's dominated by your sinful nature still? No one. So we're dominated by the Spirit, aren't we? This is important, to be dominated by our spirits, to give our spirits the dominance over our lives, not our weaknesses, not our distresses, not our pains and sorrows, not our woe is me's. Those are not to dominate us. When we're in union with Christ, our spirit, we need to give the dominance to our spirit. Amen. I don't know where to go from here. An example she's asking for, because I got more, but I think we need to linger here even longer. Here's an example. I'll talk about the flu trying to get me. Okay? How many of y'all took the flu inoculation so you wouldn't catch it? Why? Because you didn't want the flu, right? You didn't trust, and I'm not saying anyone's, but when you take the inoculations, oh, it's the wise thing to do. It's the safe thing to do. It's the thing we're supposed to do so we don't catch the flu. There are people that are adamantly opposed to taking inoculations. They are. And, you know, you're in one category or another. You know what? I'm not putting anybody in any. Some people, sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't. You know, whatever. They go with the flow. If the doctor says I have to have it, then I will. If he doesn't tell me, I won't. You know, it's whatever it is. But people put their trust in that inoculation. Okay? I'm not condemning anyone that does. And I'm not saying you're right if you don't. I'm saying it's available. And some people trust it. Other people trust in the Lord healing them and keeping them healthy, vibrant. Okay? But when something happens, that flu tried to hit me. I didn't get the shot. I don't take those. And it's just only because I have a belief in my mind that it's not good. So I don't. I'm not saying anything about anybody else. So when that flu hit me out of the blue, first of all, I want to tell you how this works. I was praying for a couple over here that had the flu. And as I was praying for them, the devil spoke to me. I knew it was the devil, or my carnal, fleshly person, we'll say, either one of those, spoke to me. Now, how many of you know when that speaks to you, You're supposed to crush it instantly, right? If you don't, then the uh-oh gets in. And if the uh-oh gets in, the foot is in the door for something else to come through. As I was praying for them, I heard, great, now you're going to catch it. Because they were sick with it. It wasn't like Jesus who laid hands on the leper, knowing, be well, it is my will, be well. No, it was, I heard the, uh-oh, now you can catch it. I heard it. Uh-oh. You know what? I just said, went on my way. I said, devil, you're not going to touch me. But the uh-oh got in. Okay, and I tried to counter the uh-oh, but I didn't slam it down and break it apart right then and there. It got in. It just slipped right in. I'm going along the next morning. That was in the afternoon. By the next morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, out of a dead sleep, boom, that belly pain came rushing in and nailed me hard, real hard. So I went back to sleep the best that I could. Got up 6:30 because I couldn't stay in bed any longer. And that's when I decided, man, I got to do something about this right now. This is bad right now. Am I fighting hard? No. I'm kind of resisting. I haven't really made my mind up about the whole thing. I should have, again, just woke up at 4 and just got out of my bed and slammed it hard, but I didn't. It got its way in there a little bit. Okay? Soon as it gets its way in there a little bit and it starts having some possession, you know what happens? Then you start looking at yourself according to the flesh. Because there's a physical pain, a real ailment, something actually is physically happening. And so the reality of that thing gets magnified all of a sudden. And now it's got you. It had me. My wife said, you need to call the doctors right away. You got to get in there and get some shots. This thing's killing people. All of a sudden, Peter, get behind me, Satan. I didn't say that to my wife, but that's exactly what it is, you know. You need to go to the doctor. You need to. I'm going, oh, I don't want to, but man, I got to go to work and I don't want to. And all of a sudden, this natural thinking just out of somewhere popped into my head. So I thought, I better call the doctor. I call the doctor. I couldn't get through on 4 rings. I go, I shouldn't be calling the doctor. And I hung up the phone. So I said, I need to fight this. I talk about it all the time. What the heck am I doing? And so I just said, Lord, no. However it got in, I need it out. Because my stomach is gurking and I can't eat food and it's bad. So I come to work anyway. And I sat down at my desk. Now, instead of looking at myself according to the flesh, let me just tell you, I rebuked it. It didn't go. I rebuked the devil. It didn't go. I rebuked the pain. It didn't go. I rebuked nausea. It didn't go. I'm doing what I know to do. Here's the thing. Here's what I sat down there, and all of a sudden, this is the thought that dropped into my heart. This is the Holy Spirit helping me out. He sees that I'm doing the things that I know to do, but I'm not getting the results yet. So he drops it into my heart. You need to pull your healing out of the spirit so that your body can manifest it. I thought, look at these bumps all over. That's God. He just spoke to me. And that's how the Holy Spirit, he'll just speak however he does with an idea or a thought that's random from where you're focused at right now. It's contrary to where your attention's at. He'll drop something in. And I thought, okay, I need to pull it out of the spirit and bring it in. So I go, how do I do that? So I thought, okay, I will get some inspiration from some other godly people. So I put some John G. Lake on, and I was listening to John G. Lake at work, and I've got him going, and this guy is preaching, you know, he's a healing minister. You know what he says? He like kicked me. He says, and some of you are pill takers, and you can't even overcome a stomach ache. Well, the fight is on now, dude. I'm that guy right now with a stomach ache, and you're mentioning it? That's the Holy Spirit that picked that one out of all of them. And I realized, all right, the fight is on. This is where it takes place right now. This flu thing is getting me. It's said to be serious and harmful. It's said to be strong and potent. That's what the world and the mouths of the ones that are infected are saying. But the Lord tells me my healing's in the spirit and I need to bring it into the flesh. And this guy's telling me that I'm not even strong enough to overcome a bellyache. Well, I'm about to do it right now in Jesus' name. And so something happened that I rose up inside of me and said, no, this is trying to get me to believe that it's real because I feel it. It's a lying sign and a wonder. It's a lie. I, in the spirit, am healthy. In my spirit, I'm just like Jesus Christ. How many days was Jesus sick on the earth? None, because he was able to pull it out of the spirit and walk in it, right? Not one day. How many days in heaven is he sick? Not one. And in my spirit, I'm exactly the same as him, right? In your spirit, you're exactly the way he is, right? So therefore, and since the Spirit of God is in me and sanctification comes by the Spirit, right? That means I have to lay hold of it by the Holy Spirit of God and bring it into my body. So here's what I did. I set out to remove the enemy, not to overcome the bellyache anymore. The bellyache was just the proof that the enemy was working. I had to get the enemy. I had to overcome my enemy. I had to beat my opponent, which was trying to put sickness on me. It changed inside of me. I had a devil trying to get me to identify myself according to the flesh instead of according to the spirit. So that's when I went to work. And I started with the sincerity of heart and mind in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ saying no. I said, Lord, I want you to forgive me for any compromise that's been in my life where I haven't been totally focused on following you. I want you to forgive me for any laziness of spirit that I've let this creep in because I didn't rebuke it right then and there. I said, Lord, I repent of that lazy attitude in the name of Jesus, and I just renounce it right now. And when I did that, for me, all of a sudden, I knew. It wasn't a big revelation. It just settled down inside of me that it had to leave. It had no more ground. It had no more right to be in me. It had to leave. And guess what? It left. You know why? Because I actually knew it had to go now. It had to go. It had no right to be there. Jesus bore it on the cross. I told the Lord that too. I said, Lord, Jesus bore this on the cross. I don't have to bear it. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to have this pain in my body. It's not a rule. It's not because of something I did. It's got to go. And it left. How many of you know when it leaves, you're not going, it'll never come back again. For me, an hour, I was walking around very gently, not trying to stir it back up again. Don't wake the devil back up, man. I got him out for a change. Let's make sure he stays gone for an hour at least. After an hour, it was total. I knew for a fact he was gone and not coming back again because I beat that guy, right? Each one of us has to bring it home that it's not according to our flesh. It's not the pain in our bodies. It's not what's happening to this flesh. The Bible says we no longer should walk according to the flesh, but how? According to the Spirit. Let's go down a little further in this chapter and let's look at that. In chapter 8, it says in verse, I stopped in 4, so let's go to verse 5. And it says this in verse 5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I set my mind on the things of the Spirit. Now, how many of you know setting my mind on the thing of the flesh? Oh, I got the flu. Oh, this hurts. Oh, I could have set my mind on that and then tried to deal with it in a natural way. And if you're at that stage, no condemnation at all. These are growth steps. We all got to figure out how to fight our battle, how to walk it out in the Spirit. Amen. But If you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, it's life and peace, it goes on to say. Right? I have life and peace, unity with God. Let's just go ahead and read that. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, we're actually talking about a carnal, sinful nature, which means you just drinking and drugging and carousing and whatever feels good, you go do it, okay? I don't think any of us are those people. I think all of us are doing our best to live a godly life and to please the Lord Jesus Christ. I really, really think that about this group of people. And because of that, I think that you really don't have to worry about whether you're walking according to the flesh in a carnal way. But I think that we do need to look at, do we identify with the flesh as being the real us? What's happening in my flesh body, is it the real thing that's happening to me? It says that Jesus, in verse 3, condemned sin in the body, right? He condemned sin. That means he said sin is what's guilty in our body, not us. So when the devil throws that garbage on us, he's the one who's guilty. Not you and me. The devil's guilty for doing this. And we need to know that he's actually out to get us with the aches, the pains, the troubles, and all these things that are happening. He's really stirring it up. Are you with me? Go with 1 John. Chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 19. We're going to be talking about some more condemnation. Those who are condemned are not condemned. However, this condemnation is not the kind like the other that says it's a judgment of guilty. This condemned that we're going to read about now is the kind that finds fault with us. The kind that thinks we're doing something wrong. Okay, so here's what this one says. It says in verse 19, and this is in this part of John, 1 John, he's talking about helping other people. They have needs and we help them, okay? And if they do have a need and you help them, then of course you're loving your neighbor. It says in verse 19, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God. Do we need to assure our hearts before God? According to this verse, we do. We assure our hearts before God. We talk to ourselves. We talk to ourselves. We calm ourselves down and we assure ourselves. We start talking to ourselves. Amen? And you guys all know, I've talked about this before, your spirit has a voice, your soul has a voice, and your body has a voice. Your body tells you when you need to go to the restroom or eat food or go to sleep, right? When you're afraid, your body tells you those things. And you listen to your body, but it's not in charge. How many of you eat when your body tells you it's time to eat? You can reign over your body and say, no, you're not going to eat right now, right? You can say, no, we'll eat in an hour. You can tell your body what to do. It'll talk to you and tell you, but it's not in charge, right? So when the sickness jumped on me, that was my body telling me, you're sick, you're sick, you're sick, you got the flu. But I'm in charge of that. Sometimes I do what my body says, and sometimes my body does what I say. Are you with me? Then you got your soul, your personality, your mind, your will, and emotions. You can decide things about, well, I like that person. Well, I don't like that person. Well, I like that song, I don't like that song. Whatever, your body, your will can choose things too. But how many of y'all know you got a spirit? And your spirit agrees with God all the time. And it's the Holy Spirit of God with your spirit talking to you about heaven and the things of God. And we have to learn how to assure our hearts by what the Lord is saying and by what God says and what the Spirit of God says. We need to assure our hearts before Him. 20. For if our heart condemns us, finds faults in us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. In other words, if you find fault in yourself, it's not changing your salvation. It's not affecting your salvation. God's greater than that. But what happens when you find fault with yourself? What happens when your own heart condemns you, finds judgment against you? It says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. 23, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. So what it's saying is that when we know that we're pleasing the Lord, when we know that we're loving people and loving ourselves and loving God, we know that whatever we ask Him, we're absolutely going to get, right? Because there's no, we're not finding fault, no shortcomings, no reason why it won't happen is showing up anymore. Amen? Are you with me? How many of y'all still have a little voice once in a while that wants to say you're falling a little short? You're not quite up to snuff. If you were more spiritual than you could, if you knew the Bible a little better than you could, if you didn't say that and that about that other person, then maybe. Or I love this one. Well, I sowed a lot of seed to the devil for years, and I'm just reaping that harvest now. You know what? Crush that harvest. Burn it to the ground. Light it on fire. Curse that harvest. Make it die. Amen? You're a new creation. You don't even plant in that field anymore. You moved. You may have planted a lot of crazy stuff in that ground, but guess what? You moved. You don't live there anymore. You're not in that dirt anymore. Now you live in the kingdom of God. You're a citizen of heaven. Amen? And so like Minton was telling us last night, that out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Any of you that were here last week, I was talking about this. That was it last week? I don't remember. Whenever I taught last, I'm sorry. That we need to settle this issue. Is God with me, backing me up? This is really important in the body of Christ. Is God with me, backing me up? Because if I'm in Christ Jesus, and we heard today, if I'm walking in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're in agreement together, then isn't God backing me up? Because me and Jesus are aligned, and He backs up Jesus, right? So He backs me up. Look at this in John 8. Come over to John 8 and look at this. To 8:23. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8. And this is what He's talking to them. He says, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Right? Jesus saying, you're from beneath, I'm from above. How many agree with that? Jesus from above, they were from beneath. They're of this world, and Jesus is not of this world. How many agree with that? Isn't that absolutely true? So often times, I'm saying, yeah, Lord, you were there with Jesus, but I'm not Jesus. So I'm of this world, and Jesus was from that world, but I'm of this world. Do you know what? That's not true anymore. That is absolutely not true. Not for you and me to say that. The Pharisees and Sadducees could say that they were of this world. But you can't say that. You're from above. Just like Jesus was from above. You are from above. Let this sink in. This Holy Spirit saying this phrase right now. You are from above. You are not of this world. That's the truth about you. Let that be real. You are not of this world. You are from above. Just like Jesus was from above. That's the truth about you. No matter what the world says, that is the truth about you. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. Because the Bible says that about you and me. Not just about the Pharisees and Jesus. About you and me. Go over to John chapter 17. This is before Jesus ascended on high. Before he ascended on high. I'm going to start in verse 14, so you don't have to stay with me. Here's in verse 14, John 17, 14. This is Jesus talking to the Father about the disciples. Okay? The disciples, you might think, are just like you and me, right? They're natural people born on the earth. This is what he said about them. He says, I have given them your word. How many of us have gotten Jesus' word? And the world has hated them because they are not, what? Not of the world, just as I am not of the world. 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. How are you kept from the evil one? By being in the covering of God and being in unity with God. Verse 18. They are not of the world. Or 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. 18. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Didn't he say, go into all the world and preach the gospel? Did he say go? He did. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth. Jesus sanctified himself, therefore you and I are clean. We're clean because of him, not because of us. If you're thinking of yourself as whether you're clean or not because of your actions, you're still looking at yourself according to the flesh and not according to being unified with Christ. Amen? So let's talk about this. Are you and I of the world? No, we're from above. You know what being born again is? Being born from above. Our new spiritual life is from above. That's why we can call God our Father. God is my Father because my spirit has been born and made alive. And because my spirit is born and made alive, and God's now my Father, and I'm from above, just like Jesus, the Bible says, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. The old way of looking at myself has passed away. All those old wild oats that I sowed in that field has passed away. It's not about my flesh and blood nature anymore. It's about my spiritual nature now. God condemned sin in that old nature. So it's locked into that nature. It's locked into it. But you and I are not. So if we look at ourselves according to whether or not we sin, we're looking at the flesh. It says in Hebrews that we should have no more consciousness of sin. That if you do, it says in Peter that you forgot that the sprinkling of blood has washed away that whole thing. So you and I have to stand in the fact that we are spiritual sons and daughters of God. Listen, it's the devil's trap to try to identify with our issues as being us. They are only an opportunity to prove we believe God. That's all they are, is an opportunity to prove that what Jesus said, we believe Jesus. That by his Spirit, God is going to resurrect us into a glorified body. That because of the Spirit of God that's in you and me, we shall have glorified bodies, immortality. That even during the resurrection, that you and I, by the Spirit of God in us, will transform us into that glorified person. True or untrue? Absolutely true. And we're counting on that. How many of you are counting on that to be true? You've invested everything in your life, every one of your relationships, everything that you stand for and believe in, you hang it on the fact that you will be there for all eternity. That you will be a part of that resurrection. Right? Or if you should leave before that day, then you will be eternally in the presence of the Lord Most High. We believe that. We hang our hats on that. That is the joy that we have, that that will take place in our life. But by that same Spirit that God is raising us up by, he has also equipped us to take out our enemies while we're still here and to overcome sickness and disease while we're here on the planet. By that same Spirit, we pull the life of God into the flesh and we magnify Jesus in our bodies, whereby health and vitality saturates the cells of this instrument. That even if the sweat off this instrument gets on a cloth, and somebody takes that cloth and puts it on a sick person, that sick person gets healed. Why? Because the glory of the Spirit of God that I trust and rely on and believe in is being magnified inside of me because I know the truth and I'm holding on to it with all that I've got. So therefore, sickness cannot remain in this body. Amen? Amen. But we lay hold of it. We assure our hearts before God. We stand against our adversary. We're sober. We're vigilant. We continue in knowing that he's trying to lullaby us to sleep, to not know who we really are, and to be full of life and light and glory. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You are his workmanship. You are created for good works. You have overcome this world. And the one that is in you is greater than anything that happens in this world or in this flesh. That's the truth of who we are. We don't even have to work up a lather. It's a fact, Jack. That's the truth. Amen. When we get a hold of that, the power of God will not be contained in these four walls or in this container. It won't be contained. But it's up to me to sit down with the Holy Spirit or to run like the wind with the Holy Spirit, depending on what frame of mind I'm in, and just reconcile these things with God. Bring them back to God and get together with God. Because I'll tell you what, I agree with Jesus. I'm who Jesus says I am. I'm who Jesus died for. I really am the Son of God. Not of myself, but by the Spirit who dwells in me. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. But it was a gift. And I accept that gift. And because I accept that gift of God, the devil can't steal it. He can't make me be the reason it doesn't work. He can't make me be inferior. He can't do it. You know why? Because there is now no judgment of guilty in me. None. I am not guilty of anything. Nothing when it comes before God. I am pure. I am holy. I am honored, I am loved, I am wanted, I am a genuine member of the family. And there's nothing he can do about that. So he's so mad, I almost said the P word, he's so mad. I almost said it, but praise the Holy Ghost. He's so mad about the fact of who we really are that he walks around, sneaking around, checking us all out to see, where can I get a little foothold? Where can I worm my way in there? Oh, a little ache and a pain. Oh, a car accident. Oh, something happens in their finances. Oops, they got no money. He'll find a way. He'll find a way to get your mind and feelings to come into agreement that you are lacking or deficient in some area. And it is not the truth. It is your experience at the moment according to your natural person. But it is not the truth about you. The truth about you and me is that we are healed. We are absolutely made whole, and we are glorifying God. That's the truth. So we need to speak to whatever symptom, whatever evidence is saying that we're lacking that, that that's not a reality. Listen, we take it out of the spirit. We believe God, and we bring it into our natural body by praising the Lord, by singing songs and hymns, by laying hands on people, by reading the word and speaking the word, by talking to ourselves and getting ourselves to obey us. That's a big one. Getting my body to obey me. I tell my body, you're going to fast. It says, no, I'm not. In fact, you're extra hungry right now. I say, no, we're going to fast. I miss one meal, and my body goes, look, now you can't even think straight. Feel that dullness coming over you? Well, you better eat some food. Come on, you're not going to be able to do your job. You may have to minister to somebody. You can't be feeling like that. My body, no. I'll tell you, I've recently given up sugar. Oh, my Lord Jesus, my body would like to die. It wanted sugar. It wanted sugar. It would find sugar. Ketchup has a lot of sugar in it, you guys. Just to let you know. It'll find some way to get sugar. It wanted sugar. I'll tell you. It goes to, oh, all the healthy ways of getting sugar, you know. It's amazing how it talks to us. Till you put it in submission. Till you make it obey. The writer of Isaiah says, I have calmed and quieted my soul as a weaned child. I have calmed and quieted my soul. I have stopped the squee-weeing, the it doesn't work, the where are you, Lord? How come this isn't happening yet? The woe is me. I have shut that down. And I have comforted myself with the truth of the Word of God. And we need to walk in that as a body of Christ. Truly, you are just like the Lord Jesus Christ right now. That's what it says in 1 John 4:17. Let's look at that real quick. We'll stop with this verse. It says, love has been perfected among us in this. Love has been perfected among us in this. Who's love? God is love. What's Jesus' only commandment towards us? To love one another. To love God and love one another, right? And actually he goes so far in 1 John to say, to receive the love of God. And to love others. That's the only commandment. That if we will do that, everything else is in that. And there's no law against love, right? So God, by showing us his love in us, that it can be perfected in you and me. That means perfect. Full maturity. Absolutely got it. It's this. That love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Like lions, when we stand up before God, like lions, we're going to be able to have boldness when we stand in front of Him. Why? We're never going to be guilty in His eyes again. We never are going to be ashamed with Him. Why? Because the Spirit of God's in us, with us. It's like if you were handcuffed together with somebody, just because you know you can't get out of it real easy, tied together, holding hands with, and you walked everywhere with that person in unison, having fun, enjoying that person, deciding where you're going to go together, doing things together, preferring that person above everybody else, right? And they're your favorite person and you're their favorite person, and then all of a sudden, one day, they're the judge and you're standing down here. What do you think's going to happen? You're going to be going, "Praise God, you're the judge, hallelujah, I'm in like Flynn. That's roses for me, praise God. This guy knows me perfect and I know him. We got it good together." That's how we're going to be when we stand before the Lord, amen? We're going to be really happy, happy, happy. It's Him that's on the throne that He's judging, amen? Why? Because that sinful guy has been condemned in the flesh and has nothing to do with us anymore. Has nothing to do with us. So, in the day of judgment, because what? Because as He is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You and I, our love has been made perfect. Fear has no place in us at all, because we now can walk just like He walks. Because right now, the truth is, as He is, so are we in this world. Amen? You and I have been given all of it. All of it. And the devil can't stop us. But we will be tested. We will be tried. We will definitely put our feet to the flames, or have our feet put to the flames. But I want to tell you, we are more than overcomers. We have the victory. And when we settle it in our heart that that sickness cannot stay, we get out from under its dominance and end up looking at it as an opponent and slam it down in Jesus' name. Not by being mean to it, but by realizing the truth. When you realize it, the light goes on. I had a trouble in my life for 8.5 years that I could not resolve. And in 1 hour, it was completely gone, because I learned a truth, and that truth totally set me free, and a light came on, and in that light there is no darkness at all. Amen? Amen. I love you all very, very much, and I want to say that, you know, these healing school classes are vitally important. Vitally important. Not that you come every Thursday, though I would like you to, but that you take this that you're shared and you use it. We need to learn the two big things today that I talked about. That God is with us, backing us up, always. Always. And that we need to take what's in the spirit and bring it into the natural, so that our natural life lines up with our spiritual life. We need to talk to our bodies. We need to cause ourselves to be obedient to God. Amen? I sure love you. I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for everybody in this room today. I thank you for the hearers of my word, Lord Jesus, and for the message that you've given to us at this time. Jesus be glorified. Jesus be magnified. Jesus, we love you. And Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you sent him, that he overcame the devil, that he condemned sin in the flesh, Lord, and that we no longer have to walk according to the flesh, Father, but by the Spirit. That, Father, by our spirit we please you. By our spirit we're in union with you. By our spirit, Lord, we get the same results that you get. So, Father, here we are, your sons and daughters, glorifying you as sons of God. We stand before you, Lord, with open arms, open hearts, transparent lives, saying, Lord, magnify yourself in us. Cause us, Lord, to be the living reality of what Jesus accomplished on the earth. And I trust you that you are greater than any deficiency that we've ever experienced, because you are so great that you will not deny yourself. You will not deny yourself in each one of us. And that you will, if in fact our conscience condemns us, Lord, you're greater than that. And I trust you to quicken us and to speak to us that we can assure our hearts before you to walk and manifest the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.